I mean, how do I describe it? It's
bold.
A light.
Black.
Unapologetically black.
Very funny, amusing.
Caring.
You give great advice from a different perspective. Passionate.
Free.
Vulnerable.
A creative.
Sexy.
My girl is lit as fuck.
Always ready to twerk a little something.
Genuine, very genuine.
Resilient.
Like, sixth sense, otherworldly. If you know, you know.
It's so vibrant, baby.
Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome to So Vibrant, the place where music, history, and culture collide. I'm your host, Lady AC, and I hope, as always, you've had a good week, because, honey, you made it to the weekend, so you rest and let go of everything else. All right. To begin today's show, I just want to say that I love black folks. I love black people. I spend the entirety of my podcast letting that be known. I love us, the whole entire diaspora. I love people, but specifically and especially black people. But with that being said, I forget the most important part of when it comes to love. Because as Bell Hooks states in her book All About Love, a part of what love consists of is responsibility and justice. And for me, I understood that to be that if I truly love somebody, if I truly care about them, I truly want the best for them, that I have the responsibility, the obligation to uphold justice, to hold accountability, to correct you when you're wrong, out of that love, to not allow you to walk around misinformed or wrong or cause harm or detriment. In the words of my grandma, she used to say, I love you, but I slap the shit out you. And for me as a kid, that always felt for me deeper was, you know, she always had this love. She always was ready to build community. She was always supportive and there. But don't get it twisted. I ain't gonna let you just play me. I ain't gonna let you just hurt me. I'm not gonna let you just treat me and do me any kind of way. Because I love you enough to let you know the hell you finto, the hell you are. And that's exactly how I feel when I look at the events that happened this past week within our community regarding survivors of the various different types of abuse that we have seen through the internet, social media, and throughout society. It is truly astounding and infuriating and disgusting to see the comments and the language that is being used and talked about from our community about people who are harmed in our community by people who are of our community and that continue to get scapegoated and defended and bypassed all to uphold said imagery, which was sold to us through white supremacy or white insecurity. Black America specifically, we have a problem that we need to address. And I'm not talking about what this administration doing. I'm not talking about the IA. I'm not talking about any of that, even though all those issues are important. I'm talking about the interpersonal relationships within our communities that we need to start addressing and dealing with. So that's what today's episode is all about. So before we dive into that, I'm going to give you some music. So enjoy this musical break and we'll be right back.
You should have been downtown. The people are rising.
shot, it was a lockdown. They opened the fire. Them bullets was flying. Who said it was a lockdown? Goddamn lie.
Love. It's a war going on outside, I swear to God. I'm on the front line, no front, no cap, no front size. Sunshine, cinnamon skin, people blend in together and ride. Side by side, organized, we bust guns at the same time. Harmonize, form a line, pick a lead, take a leap, lead with love, please. You sound like Dr. King, people tired of taking beatings from beasts covered in sheets. I love niggas, but we too forgiving for how they treating us. Reparation, bit, we trying to get even. Just run the paper, maybe, then we can start the conversation. Coming ground, prison compounds full of my fucking people. How you still sleeping? Have you had your coffee this evening, Karen? Cause you seem a little off. All the black girls missing and ending up inside the coffins. But you mad when they hashtag Black Lives Matters on front your sidewalk. Diabolical thoughts, diatribe from dialogues. Damaging images of men and women who died off fighting for civil rights. A simple necessity given when you're giving life. But we been tripping.
Right. You should have been downtown. The people are rising. We thought it was a lockdown. They opened the fire. Them bullets was flying. Who said it was a lockdown? Goddamn lies.
Two in downtown where I got popped with the rubber bullet tray. Brown got it in my name now. I'ma shoot it.
Maybe this round two. Government cinematic American drive-thru. Eat the apple pie in the morning and bury the strange fruit. Then marry the strange fruit and call it the black love. So when he bleeds, I bleed the sacred riddle. Handle money I can make to make the cops get little. We seen him murder the indigenous. A passage middle. The constitution of life for a bag of Skittles. So when we bleed, I load the sacred pistol. And if you need, I'll read a saddle with you. And if you rich, I pray that God forgive you. Supposed to share the garden, grow the holy in you. Maybe everything is a metaphor, one God. An African liberation is ready to take arms. They're telling you stay calm. They double barrel the shoddy and stand on a graveyard and tell you to slave on.
Downtown, down. The people are rising.
Look around.
We thought it was a lockdown. They opened the fire. The bullets was flying.
Down.
Who said it was a lockdown? Goddamn lie.
Turning your tube, dawg, look how they do us. Knee on our necks, bullets in backs. Stimulus checks, strictly for blacks. History repeating, people scared to eat a chicken. Everybody going vegan, what they put in it. Look at the world we living in, they got a shook in it. You doing your jog, then your color might get you took in it. Man in the mirror, don't look away, you better look at it. Black lives matter, so what it means when they shoot at it. Generation genocide, what happened to enterprise? That the man infiltrated, Black Panther re-energized. Nothing to figure out, they trying to kill us out. If I take a Niels in my fist, I'm a killer now. Just think bullshit, you gotta filter out. Are you really ready for the smoke like a Swisher house? Ready for the revolution, who ready to ride? It won't be televised, so tell me who ready to die. Know the difference from a pan and a plandemic. Just a bunch of bullshit, how we land in it. You either fall for anything or you stand in it. It's a lot going on this damn mission. Big BG used to sell microchips. Now he out here pushing vaccines. It's about to be another lockdown. Feeling like DC, fuck you man.
Downtown. The people are rising.
Look around.
We thought it was a lockdown. They opened the fire. Them bullets was flying.
Down.
Who said it was a lockdown? Goddamn lie.
Ooh-wee. Lockdown, we gotta stop. Cause they tell us to downtown. Where I got popped with the rubber bullet tray.
And that was Anderson .Paak featuring Jid, No Name, and J-Rock with Lockdown Remix. And this song was powerful because it came out around the time of 2020-2021. Especially at the height of, you know, COVID, and we were already under our own lockdown of, you know, everybody being sheltered in place. But then George Floyd happened. And so all the, and Breonna Taylor and all these different things happened within that. And so This song is a response to the way the LAPD responded to protesters in LA with extreme violence. I think they imposed a curfew to control the riots. They tear gassed them folks. They were brutalizing the people and shooting rubber bullets at protesters. And I think even there were a couple like actors out there, and a lot of them faced it. And so this song was in response to all of that. But what in particular about this song caught my attention is one line that Jid says, and it goes, "Y'all niggas are too forgiving for how they treating us." And that echoed the thoughts of a professor I heard and follow his work online by the name of Frederick Ingram Jr. And he created the book called Black Liberation Through Action and Resistance. And basically his work is talking about how within activism, with how we also had to reckon with the issues of anti-blackness, patriarchy, and white supremacy had, and misogyny had, on how we achieved or went after the liberation and the resistance. Because he says, y'all don't hate white supremacy enough for me. Making the argument because how we within our own communities perpetuate the anti-blackness through colorism, texturism, the idea of what the perfect victim is, or every time somebody speaks up, they're automatically lying, or they're just trying to, or the common thing that we hear, especially with what's been going on now, of they're trying to bring the black man down. They're putting, oh, as black women, they should stand up and they should speak out. They shouldn't be trying to lie on him or get his wealth and his money. But the terrible irony of that is those very same people that we're fighting against or who they're being brought down are causing harm to the very same community that they're part of. So because of that, it makes it very difficult to truly achieve liberation and actively fight or have resistance against this system if we don't deal with or tackle those already internal issues that we have and give life to the anger, the confusion, the frustration of constantly, especially as a black woman, being put in positions to advocate, to protest, to fight, to create change and build community with people who are so quick to demonize, degrade, hate, or is less likely to defend me or protect me. But that's who I'm supposed to build community with. That's who I'm supposed to be fighting for. That's who I'm supposed to be achieving freedom with. How? Why? It makes no sense. And so then when you see, because in my opinion, when we look at, we should have been, especially as black women, we should have been stepped back. Like, we shouldn't have to wait till white supremacy catches up. Because, and with the irony of all of this is under the guise of white supremacy. This is just another tool that is thrown at us to tackle. But, ooh, it's a whole nother conversation. But the point of that is that all of this is bred under this system of oppression. But as I've stated before on this podcast, the insidious thing about these systems is that they're so good at what they do, they make us do its job for it. And in that way is what we're seeing with all the disgraceful, disgusting attacks. It's letting, I don't want to say regular, but everyday women know that if they, these women in the, with all the resources, more of a platform, more of an access to different things, if they can be under scrutiny and attacked and hurt and treated like this at that level, who, what in the hell would happen to me just trying to either achieve my dream or work and go home? Like, what does that say about the world I live in? Specifically, like, for instance, with these different cases of abuse, I want to first say, and make this very clear as well, that this podcast is pro Cassie, pro Megan, pro Hallie, pro women and girls, black women and girls, and all survivors. I support and believe y'all the first time. I don't need to see no more evidence. I don't need you to jump through all these hoops. No, you said it. You were brave enough to say it. You were brave enough to take it to court. You were brave enough to take action. And I am so proud of you. Anybody who listened to this and who has been a victim of abuse, just know you are safe. When you listen to this podcast, anytime you listen, you will always have a safe space here. This is a safe space I will create for that. And you deserve it fully. So, but I digress to get back to my point. I'm so proud of you for still being here, because so many victims that names we don't know, we kind of know or may never know, are not here. Due to succumbing to that violence. One of the major questions that a lot of people ask in any of these instances of abuse allegations, quote unquote, is why didn't they leave? Why didn't they just leave? They couldn't deal with it. Why was it too much? Or there was some reason they stayed. And typically when people are arguing back and talking about it, or what I've definitely seen in the internet, and different commentary, is that people saying that, you know, that is the most dangerous time for an abuse victim is when they choose to leave. So I want to take the time to explain why it's the most dangerous time. The whole point of abuse, of a person who afflicts abuse, is the essence of control. They want entire... Now, the reason for control can vary depending on that person's feelings, upbringing, anything like that. But the common link of an abuser is that they want complete and utter control of that person. And when a victim finally gets to the point where they want to leave, that is the true moment where the abuser realizes they no longer have that control of that person. When the victim finally disappears, when the victim finally doesn't believe any of the words, doesn't flinch at the violence, doesn't care to give a reaction, that triggers a response within the abuser that the control is being lost. And at this point, they go into a point where they have to gain that control, because they thrive off of that control of that person. They thrive off the fact that they are over and can manipulate and can use, because internally it makes them feel equipped and adequate within themselves. So when you break away from that, that weakens them, that destroys them, that shows them that they weren't good enough, that they weren't great enough, that they weren't powerful enough, that they weren't in control to begin with, which they never were. They had to force it through violence, through resources, through money, through manipulation of the mind and emotions, weaponizing employees or people affiliated, mutual friends between both, the community around their victim. It's a lot of planning. It's a lot of strategy. And it's a lot of individuals involved for them to create this system of control. And it only becomes even more dangerous and more criminal when they involve and employ others to add to that system. Hence, that's why he got a RICO. That's why he's being tried, because he created an entire system. Paid folks. Paid businesses. Paid the video of the hotel. He paid them to erase it. And if it wasn't for that security guard who took it upon himself to record the video, there would never be no evidence. That there's always connections made for the abuser to continue to keep that control. There are always some networking being done to control, especially when that abuser has money, power, and privilege. I find it interesting, though, how money, power, and privilege are all at the top of the essential tools that white supremacy uses to keep this system enacted, how that changes to tools of liberation when they are in the hands of Black people and people of color, specifically Black men. Because it reminds me of the great words by the amazing Audre Lorde, I shade her, where she says, "The master's tools can never dismantle the master's house." So in other words, us literally trying to use the very same things that were used to oppress us, how in the world do we think that is enough to save us, per se? Because until you change the mindset, the mentality, the morality of that individual who has the power, the money, and the privilege to know how to use it, all you're going to do is recreate the same system. Now we become the oppressors. And the whole point is this system needs to be done with, period. But I think too many people want to become or have access to any of these abuse. They want that light, that talent, that money, this connection, this pedestal. Our community has convinced ourselves that when people get to that level, that's freedom. But not realizing they're still causing harm. They're still doing the evil. Because the white ones get away with it all the time, right? So they want to get to a place where the Black ones can get away with it. And no, the point is nobody should hurt nobody. Nobody should put their hands on nobody. Nobody should have to coerce, manipulate, trap, hit, touch, messing with their mind or putting thoughts in their head or taking away their free will through alcohol and drugs and threatening their livelihood. No one should be able to do that freely. The thing that gets me angry about this the most is y'all have that access and money and privilege to make real change. All these mutual aids that need funding, all these food banks that need funding, all these different organizations that do environmental justice, that do community service, that do all these different things. Y'all can give these money to, y'all can create these charities if y'all wanted to using your platforms. But no, you choose to become the very same monsters that we're trying to get rid of. Why? Because it makes up for what you never had. And what you never had is control of yourself. So in order to make up for that lack of control of whatever it was, a situation, whether it was of your own body or your living situation or anything along the lines, because you lost it then, now you want to take it from someone else and reclaim that? No, you can't. Not at all. You don't have the right, regardless of how much money, power, privilege you have. You have no right. And to all the people who say things like, well, you have to separate the music from the person, and you can't, because who that person is affects what they create. A true creative, and yes, I said a true creative, whatever mood you're in, whatever space you're in, whatever mentality you have, whatever energy you carry, whatever mentality or logic or capacity that you have, that undeniably affects the songs you write, the music you sing, the paintings that you create, the films that you create, the way that you write, the way that you move, the way that you connect, the way that you speak. So that comes out in your creative process, which comes out into the work that you created, which comes out into the world, literally, for people to indulge or take part in. It is part of the thing that they are selling to you. Because when you pay for it, you put money in their pockets, which allows them to afford to be able to keep up the systems that they're creating when no cameras are around, when the internet go quiet, when the curtains are closed. Another thing that comes up for me in analyzing and looking at this need for control that leads to abuse or people supporting people who are abusers is the concept of relatability and connection and community, in a sense. Because like I stated earlier, in order for these abusers to do what they do, they need support in what they're doing. They have to create narratives to keep an image of themselves alive. So they can truly be successful, they have this image, this community to fall back on to defend them when they need it. And so it made me think about the concept of needing community. And who is the first community that you have? I've talked about that in the podcast. The community you have are the people around you, your family. And I was talking to a friend the other day. This particular conversation, we were talking about how the impact of our childhoods impact how we connect with people now as adults. And it made me think on a larger scale of how, you know, we talk about, especially when it comes to relationships and interacting with another, that our childhood impacts how we, you know, go for love, go for connection, interact with people. But I think what is not really talked about as much is how that impacts the way we build community, period. Meaning, based on the relationships with my mother, with my grandmother, with my aunts, with my cousins, that impacts how I relate when I meet other women. Same thing with my father, to my brother, to my uncles, to my grandfather. How that impacts the way I interact with men. Think about the way you engaged with certain people that you went to school with. When I build friendships, when I network, when I work for or work with or work under, that affects that. My theory is somewhere along the lines, people found different ways to connect with one another, even if that includes violence or enacting harm. Especially on the internet, we are seeing men bond, connect, agree with each other over being able to be violent, to be abusive, so they can gain that control and access and love and connection. And you see how that works? They can feel validated. It is completely wrong. Yes, somebody should step in and tell them that's not right, but imagine you don't have that. Or imagine everybody around you is just as equally misguided, just as equally intentionally ignorant. Whoo! But at what cost? They're talking about this loneliness epidemic, but this is what's causing that. That is the cost of the power, the money, and the privilege. You cost being alone. You cost having nobody to show up. You cost still losing that control. Because now you done lost control of your life. And nobody wants to be there. Because the real gag is the white supremacy that you're honoring and you're playing into, they're losing too. They're not gaining anything either. Speaking of the loneliness epidemic, a lot of those articles and writings regarding that, they don't even include black men or people of color. They're talking specifically to white men from their experience. So just looking at that, white men are dying alone and suffering alone, quote unquote suffering alone, because they rather participate in that system of patriarchy and whiteness. And that's the system you want to be a part of. You want to switch just to have this illusion of power and privilege. Whew. Oh, how? Why would you want that for yourself? I love you enough to let you know I want better for you. But if you continue to still participate, to still engage, to still do this harm, you have to get the consequences of that. But you know that you being black is going to have a heavier weight because of how this country already treats black people. So why would you willingly put yourself up for that? If that's the cost of freedom, child, I don't want it. I wouldn't want it. And speaking in that power and privilege directly to my black women that are participating in this system and adding to the systems. Because for black women, we are always put in this position to be the defenders of the community, to be the savior, to be, you know, when we talk about the cape and everything, is particularly in the trial of the leprechaun shot Megan Thee Stallion. When she experienced that violence, she could have told right there, hey, he did it. I was hurt. I got shot in the foot. She could have did that. But even in that moment, she chose to protect him. And it made me think about how even in instances to be personal and to be transparent where I was in abusive situations and how I chose to protect the person who harmed me because, like, I remember even thinking to myself, like, oh, that person ain't built for jail, though. Or I don't want to see another black man hurt or killed by police. I was experiencing this scary situation. But in my mind, I'm caring more about the system of their oppression and their issues and that I neglect my own. What makes it hurt more is understanding why they do that. Doesn't make it right at all, because a lot of the women were just completely reckless. But understand that system of wanting that reciprocity of being included by the men that you want to be loved by. It doesn't excuse the things they say, but I see that. But in seeing that and addressing y'all directly, remember, we got to put a hard stop on that. If they want to sink, if they want to fail, if they want to cause violence, that's it off. They hang it up by themselves. Also, abusers can be any gender, any sexual orientation or identity across the board. So another reality of these people who are engaging and saying these comments and supporting or rather defending the actions of these people, these abusers, are abusers themselves, whether through their words, through their actions, or through their tendencies, probably have committed some of the same things and see themselves within these individuals. And so if they get held accountable, it's only a matter of time that they, the people who are defending them, have to reckon with the actions of themselves. So instead of admitting that and doing that self-reflecting and doing that work, they rather or easier to defend the actions, to support the people, so that way they don't have to do that kind of work. And before you say it, and I've also been seeing people who've been arguing back and forth about this, say it, therapy does not work for these type of people, specifically for men who enact violence and do these kind of things. Because they have learned and created a system that allows them to use whoever their object of the abuse is as that therapy, as that gym, as that rehabilitation center, as that release of who they take out their feelings and emotions and insecurities on. That's what they have learned to do. So when they get into therapy settings, that's what they do in those therapy sessions. That's why we have all these dudes, for women talk about in certain dating situations, who men who just regurgitate the same kind of talking points. Like, they go in there long enough to learn what misogyny is. They go in there long enough to know what narcissism is, and aligning their energies and not, they say all that beautiful language just so they can continue to manipulate and pull back people's defenses and add to the narrative that they're creating. Therapy is just another tool to manipulate and use. What they do need is consequence, is repercussions for the actions until justice and accountability are truly served and given. So if these systems or the justice is not given, then we have to enact that justice. We have to uphold that accountability and that practice. So going back to the concept of building community, one thing I forgot to mention when I talked about that, you have to choose who and who not to build community with. Stop arguing with folks who want to apologize for them, that want to defend them, that want to continue to believe that this is a type of liberation and freedom. Let them pay that cost. What we do is we choose to remove ourselves. We choose to not listen to their music. We choose to not watch their movies. We choose to not engage with that. We choose to not invite them to the cookouts. We choose not to invite them over to our houses, to our spaces, to our events. And we need to do that as a community, so that way that message gets sent loudly. We can choose to omit them from that and let them stay where they are. There are some people who are going to get left because they can't change, or they don't want to change, or they want to go about the harmful ways of doing things. A lot of people talk about Harriet having the gun with her and putting that shotgun on your back if they choose to turn back. It wasn't more just about them not running back to give them away, but it also made her weary of the fact of when they did get to freedom, who was going to uphold that? Who was going to be able to continue the work to keep the community that they were building of runaway people to be safe? That individual is proving that they're not going to protect us. They're not going to protect each other. If they're willing to give up and run back, how helpful, how supportive, how caring are they going to be to the new life? Because in the word of the beautiful quote I heard the other day, a new world without joy is just an old world with better graphics. While this particular quote was talking about joy, I think it still applies when we talk about making a better world in general. How in the world can we make oppression pretty? How can you thrive and function normally and naturally in capitalism? You can't, because any system of oppression requires someone to be diminished, someone to be disrespected, someone to be harmed or receive harm. And can no society thrive off that? If we haven't learned outside of just basic humanity, anything from all the things that we're seeing going on around the world, we have to dismantle it all and break it down and start anew. But I genuinely believe that we can, even though we don't know what that looks like, what it seems like. We tell people all the time to walk on faith, trust, you know, what your eyes don't see, you know, take that leap, go to that next step, even if you don't see all the finished product. We tell people that all the time. I feel we should have that same mindset when it comes to creating a better community, a better world. And the first way of getting there is by handling and addressing what we can control.
The other day, I would let life's problems get the best of me, but the rest of me is saying go away. Something down in me that won't give in, that's gotta win, and now is not the time to throw in the towel and quit the fight. There's a light in me that's gotta shine. All of the darkness and resistance with God's existence, with consistency. Myself, motivate myself, and I am determined. I am determined. I push myself, motivate myself, and I feel something pushing me in. I push myself, motivate myself, and I am determined. I am determined. I push myself, motivate myself, and I feel something pushing me. I reminisce. I've come too far to turn around and stop. Through it all, got the heavy loads. He's always been my second wind, third wind, fourth wind, fifth wind, and sixth. Seventh and the eighth through the tenth wind. So I'm gonna use all of the power that I hold to get up the rough side, to get up the incline. I push myself, motivate myself, and I am determined. I am determined. I push myself, motivate myself, and I feel something pushing me. I push myself, motivate myself, and I am determined. Myself, motivate myself, and I feel something pushing me.
And that was Adrienne Archie with Push Myself. So I want to give a special shout out to my community, my friends, my loved ones, all the way to the influencers and community activists that I follow and read and learn from in these internet spaces who have shown or really validate my feelings that this world, this new world, is possible. That's why I have this optimism. That's why I have this yearning and strong belief of love and connection and community, is because of these individuals showing the compassion, showing the protection, showing the safe spaces that they create of just using their platforms and their voices to call out the atrocities, from the genocides all the way down to these abuse cases that we're seeing, and showing that people do care. People do love. People do want to truly be liberated and not just to change their positions in the system, but to truly have a world where all of us can exist freely. Because while these negative, misogynistic, disgusting, nasty, patriarchal, capitalistic, white supremacist logic is being promoted out of the very same people that look like me, I equally know and have great examples around me and also in these same internet spaces that prove that love can exist, that I'm worthy of it, that joy can exist and that I'm worthy of it, that happiness can exist and I'm worthy of it, that peace does exist and I'm worthy of it. All of us are worthy of all those things. So I also want to make it a point to just point out to, while these comments are coming from, like I said, men, black men and women, that I also see the black men that are using their voices and their bodies and their engagement and their presence to prove these internet losers, these internet niggas wrong, that there are good black men out there. So that's why I don't lose myself in this internet. I don't lose myself in the social media and the commentary and the imagery and the message, because I've seen too many times it's equally, or I choose to see the black men that are doing and saying and feeling and healing. So that adds to knowing that this world, a new world, a better world, a liberated world, is possible. So on that note, y'all, I leave you with that. Black community, I love y'all, but we have to do this inner working. And if people are not willing to get on board, leave them where they at. Love them enough to leave them where they at and put that boundary and move accordingly. Okay. Let's move accordingly. Which is the silver lining of all this stuff, is that now we know how to act and move accordingly. So I once again am still up and running for the Women's Podcast Awards under the news and entertainment category. So please, please continue to vote. I appreciate you already, for the ones who have. So for the ones who still haven't, you still have time. So please go to womenspodcasters.com/awards. Go click on vote. Then you're going to click on where it says voter form. And from there, fill out the form and submit. So please, please continue to do that. You have until May 31st. In the meantime, I am on all social medias. Facebook is Queen Lady AC. Instagram and Threads is _IAmLadyAC. And on X and Twitter is capitalized I Am Lady AC. And Substack is Lady AC. So until next week, y'all, act accordingly. Bye.